So we welcome everyone to the Srimad Bhagavatam class. We are on verse number 28 of Canto 10, Chapter 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we'll recite the verse. Krishnasya Gopyo Ruchiram Vikshakaumarachapalam Shrinvantya Kilatanmatur Iti Hochu Samagata. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: observing the very attractive childish restlessness of Krishna, all the gopis in the neighborhood, to hear about Krishna's activities again and again, would approach Mother Yashoda and speak to her as follows. Purport: Krishna's activities are always very attractive to devotees. Therefore, the neighbors who were friends of Mother Yashoda informed Mother Yashoda of whatever they saw Krishna doing in the neighborhood. Mother Yashoda, just to hear about the activities of her son, stopped her household duties and enjoyed the information given by the neighborhood friends. So we are peeping into the personal life of the Supreme Lord. And definitely this is a difficult subject matter to speak. So I would first of all request the blessings of all the assembled devotees, specifically some senior devotees who are sitting here. These are such beautiful, enchanting descriptions that are available to us. They are such wonderful, so sweet. It is relishable to speak about them and it is relishable to hear about them. We see here, Mother Yashoda is the mother of Lord Krishna. We say the most intimate person, when we compare the love in the material world to the love in the spiritual world, then we say the closest that any love in the material world can come to the original love in the spiritual world is the mother's love for a child. It's almost pure. So this is Mother Yashoda, who is the mother of the Supreme Lord. So how pure is her love? Very pure. It means she is close to Krishna and Krishna is close to her. However, when the gopis come, when the friends come and they start speaking about Krishna, they tell Mother Yashoda, this is what your son is doing there. This is what the son is doing there. And in the coming verses, we have shlokas narrating the complaints of these gopis. So the coming shlokas are the words of the gopis in trying to complain about Krishna. So very relishable. But something that I wanted to mention was that this is Mother Yashoda, who is very intimately, closely loving Krishna, and Krishna also definitely loves her the same. But when some person from outside her home comes and starts speaking about Krishna, there is no feeling in her which says, I already know about Krishna. Don't you know Krishna is my son? I know him. I wake him up in the morning. I put him to bed at night. The descriptions of Krishna are also as relishable, if I don't speak more, as relishable as Krishna's personal presence. What a wonderful example that Mother Yashoda, Nanda Baba, when everyone comes and speaks about Krishna, they're all ears. They are all eager to listen to them. Sometimes Yashoda Mai speaks and the Vrajavasis listen. So it's not that this is some kind of a activity where I take pleasure in speaking only and you better take pleasure in listening only. No. They switch roles. It means it has nothing to do with speaking or it has nothing to do with hearing. It has to do with the subject matter of hearing and speaking. Krishna's activities are so sweet. You speak about them, you hear about them, you remember them, and everything else. It's very attractive. After Yashoda and Gopis spoke with each other, these pastimes in today's book that we are reading are being exchanged between Shukdeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. The same activities, speaking and hearing. And because they are also loving Krishna, Shukdeva Goswami also relishes speaking. Certain instances when certain questions are posed by Parikshit Maharaj, Shukdeva Goswami goes into a trance. Shukdeva Goswami stops for a moment to speak. And sometimes Parikshit Maharaj is overwhelmed by love and he also takes time to put forward the further question. So this is the highest standard of devotees. They are not interested in speaking only. They are not interested in hearing only also. Whatever is suitable. If I am in a situation where I am in close proximity to a person who knows more than me about Krishna, I am all ears, I am willing to hear. There is no seniority, there is no inferiority. The eagerness is what they all have. If I have some devotee close to me who wants to know more about Krishna and I have something to offer to him, I am more than eager to tell him. So both are having a nice loving exchange, not only with Krishna in terms of speaking about him, in terms of hearing about him, but also between each other when they speak and when they hear. So such fine details are mentioned in the Bhagavatam about the childhood pastimes of Krishna. These fine details almost make the pastime come out alive. Yes. Now Shukdeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, when they speak, if Shukdeva Goswami is sick, so there was Krishna, and Krishna was a very naughty child. Now Parikshit Maharaj is in the lineage of Arjun. Most probably the stories of Krishna would be narrated in the family household. There's always somebody popular in the family and they always keep speaking about that person. You know your grandfather, what did he do? Probably in some king's dynasty they say, you know your grandfather, he shot a lion. Something like that. So Arjun is like a very outstanding personality in that lineage, and I'm sure these children, they grow up listening to Arjun's pastime, Bhima's pastime, Yudhishthira's pastime. One good quality about the Pandavas is their pastimes cannot be separated from Krishna's pastimes. It's all thickly mixed. So whenever some child in this family hears about Arjun, he has to hear about Krishna. When somebody hears about Yudhishthira and Bhima, he has to hear about Krishna. Krishna is part of their life. So it's not that Parikshit does not know much about Krishna, is it not? But Shukdeva Goswami takes out time to go into the fine details. So Parikshit is also relishing all that, and as some drops of his relishing fall on us, we also have a hope that one day we also will relish these pastimes. These pastimes have two effects on us when we hear these fine details. They make us remember Krishna. When we see the morning, when we see the sun come up, and if we have listened to these pastimes very attentively, we have read these pastimes in the Krishna book attentively, then there's a very good chance that we remember, oh, I had read in the Krishna book. Krishna, when he gets up in the morning, even before he wakes up, the gopas come and they start making strange sounds of animals and birds. And Krishna understands, this is my friends calling me to play. But it's barely morning. So Yashoda, Mother Yashoda is saying, why are these kids always troubling Krishna? Why can't they wait for the morning to come? Why can't they wait for me to dress up the child and then he can go? They are just so eager. So if we know this, that in the morning time Krishna's friends come and try to make some strange sounds and indicate to him in a puzzle form that please come, we want to play with you. In fact, the gopas don't get good sleep at night. They're thinking, in the morning we are going to play with Krishna. So if we are aware of this, one day when we are watching the morning come, there is a chance that we will remember Krishna's activities in the morning. Sometimes we might be alone and we see the sun setting. Yes, in the city it's difficult to see the sun setting, but sometimes when we are traveling outside the city, then you are in a train and you actually see the sun setting. And there is a chance that if we are aware of Krishna's activities in the evening, how the gopis see a cloud of dust in the distance, And that is how they know Krishna is coming home with his multitude cows, because all those hoof prints raise a cloud of dust. So sometimes it's possible that when we see the sun setting, then we say, oh, when Krishna would be there in Vrindavan, when the sun would set, this was the time, the Godhuli time. This was the time when Krishna would return with the cows. So when we read about these fine details, one good chance is that if we really internalize these descriptions, then we'll also remember Krishna whenever we see some similar events happening in this world around us. Yes? Another advantage of hearing these fine details is that it makes it realistic for us. In reading the Krishna Leela, we'll see, oh, there is a Vamshi Vat, so where Krishna performed his pastimes. So now when we go to Vrindavan, we see the Vamshi Vat. So, oh, this is that Vamshi Vat which I had read. So it makes it real, is it not? See, all of us are struggling sadhakas. We hear about these pastimes. These pastimes are very sweet, very attractive. But the virus of doubt is always there in our hearts. When Rupa Goswami speaks about the 9 stages of devotional service, starting from Shraddha to Prema, the longest stage is Anartha Nivritti. So why is it the longest stage? Why not Shraddha? Why not Sadhu Sangha? Because all these are easily available. Bhajana Kriya, easily available. You contact a Sadhu, he'll give, please do some service for me. But Anartha Nivritti, very difficult. The doubts and all the other anarthas that are in our hearts, they'll prevent us from going to Nishtha. To have firm conviction in Krishna. To believe, yes, Krishna is not a mythological character. Krishna existed. He was present in this world. His footprints beautified the earth. So till a certain time, till our anarthas are not destroyed, Nishtha will not happen. What to speak of Ruchi, Asakti and so on. So when we read about these fine pastimes, when we read about these fine details, Krishna did this in the morning, Krishna sometimes bathed in the Yamuna, sometimes there it happened like this. So it makes us real. When we go to Vrindavan today and when we see those places, so yes, yes, yes. We come closer to the stage of Nishtha. We come closer to the stage of conviction. That will help us. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of our acharyas, he says that Krishna has 2 types of leelas. So one is Nitya Leela and one is Naimittik Leela. Nitya Leela are his eternal pastimes, and Naimittik Leela are the pastimes that he performs only in the material world. Within Nitya Leela, he says, there are 2 categories. So he says, one category is Sa Antar Nitya Leela, and another is Nirantar Nitya Leela. So what is this Sa Antar Nitya Leela? Sa Antar Nitya Leela is those pastimes that are performed in the material world at intervals. They have a beginning and an end. So then how are they Nitya Leela? Because they are performed endlessly. So pastimes like the birth of Krishna, the growing up of Krishna, the killing of some demons in Vrindavan, his leaving Vrindavan to reside in Mathura and then Dwarka, these come under the category of Sa Antar Nitya Leela. And Nirantar Nitya Leela are his pastimes in Vrindavan with the gopis and so on. So when we understand, oh, there is so much happening in Vrindavan, it's not this simple village. There are so many other villages in that neighboring area, but this village is special. There is a chance, the more we read about this, the more we hear about this, we'll get more and more absorbed in these pastimes. In fact, the very reason for which Krishna comes into this world is to make us absorbed, to make us talk about him, to make us discuss about him. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his bhajan, Gopinath, he says, Gopinath, tumi kripa parabara, jivera karane, asiya prapanche, lila koile suvistar. So he said, Gopinath, Krishna, why do you come to the material world? Some people may think to kill demons. Some people may think for some other purpose. No. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, because you are an ocean of mercy, tumi kripa paravara, jivera karane. Why do you come? You perform leela koile suvistar. You have performed elaborate pastimes. You have done so many things in the childhood. You have done so many things in the youth. You have done so many activities at a later stage. What for? The jivas, the living entities in this world, get enough material to discuss. There is so much to discuss about Krishna. Jivera karane asiya prapanch, lila koile suvistar. And when we hear these pastimes, and when we discuss these pastimes, when we chew on these pastimes with our mind, then there is a chance that more and more our minds are drowned in this nectar, the ocean that is there. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu will drown in that. Did not Lord Chaitanya, when he see the Chatak Parvat, did not he run like a madman in the direction of Chatak Parvat? Why did he run like a madman? It is said he ran at the speed of mind. He ran at the speed of wind. Why did he run at the speed of wind when he saw an ordinary sand dune on the beach of Jagannath Puri? No, for you and me, it's an ordinary sand dune on the beach of Jagannath Puri. For him, it reminded him, the hill reminded him of Govardhan Hill. Chataka parvata dekhi Govardhan Brahme, dhana chale artanada kariya krandane. Lord Chaitanya, when he saw, he ran to embrace that sand dune. Why? Because it evoked memories of Govardhan Parvat. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya would see the ocean at Jagannath Puri, and seeing that wide ocean full of water, he would become mad in remembering Yamuna. And sometimes he would go and just jump into it in his ecstasy. Sometimes there were parks in Jagannath Puri. He would see those parks and it would remind him of the forest groves of Vrindavan, and he would enter them and he would start dancing. So when somebody is absorbed, then it means that even so-called mundane objects, of course Jagannath Puri is not a mundane object, but then to your and mine eyes, sometimes it may appear like that. Sand dune looks like sand. It's not Chintamani. But from Lord Chaitanya's perspective, because he is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he has the mood of Radharani. Who is a better person, more absorbed in Krishna than Radharani? So a sand dune reminds him of Govardhan, a park reminds him of Vrindavan, the ocean reminds him of Yamuna. What a nice opportunity that we have when we read these pastimes in the Bhagavatam. You and me can also get absorbed by reading these pastimes. Yes? So this absorption will pull us to take shelter of Krishna. Today we have taken shelter of the material energy, the illusory energy of Krishna. But the more we get absorbed, even ordinary objects of this world, one fortunate day, maybe you and me, we see this ocean nearby, say, yes, I think there's some resemblance with Yamuna. We may not have that same ecstasy to go and jump there, experience Yamuna, but it could remind us of Yamuna. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, in the purport to the verse, Urdhva Mulamadha Shakham, the first verse, Srila Prabhupada speaks something which I would like to read out to you as it is. He's saying in 15.1 purport, the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. The reflection of the spiritual world is situated on desire. Just as a tree's reflection is based on water. So the reflection of the spiritual world, which is the material world, is based on desire. Just as a tree's reflection is based on water. Desire is the cause of things being situated in this reflected material light. So what is it that is keeping us here? Desire. We desire to come here. We are still desiring to stay here. This is what is prolonging our stay in the material world. I am in this world and this desire is all I have with me. As per Prabhupada, this whole material world is based on desire. What if I get absorbed in these pastimes? I desire to go to Krishna. My intensity, my absorption in Krishna consciousness will increase. More and more as I read this, I say, I want to go to Krishna. I also want to be a part of this wonderful family where they give pleasure to each other. That is their only purpose of life. So it will make me desire to go back home, back to Krishna. When I desire to go back home, back to Krishna, when I'm absorbed in Krishna's activities, no attraction of this world will be worthy enough to keep me here? Narad Muni, as his small child in the previous life, he heard from the Bhaktivedantas, and then it is mentioned, Gam Paryatan Tushtamana Gatasprihha Namani Anantasya Hatatrapapatan Guhyani Bhadrani Kritani Chasmaran Gam Paryatan Tushtamana Gatasprihha Kalan Pratikshan Vimado Vimatsarha. It is mentioned how Narad Muni, he heard from the sages, and then even after everything in his life which was valuable to him was snatched away, he took this as an opportunity to surrender to Krishna. And then he passed not only through the small village in which he was staying, he passed through big cities, he passed through big metropolises, he passed through forest, gardens, mines, he passed through all the myriad varieties in the material world, but none of it attracted him. Tushtamana gatasprihha. Spriha is a desire. Gatasprihha means without any desire. Tushtamana means completely satisfied in his heart. So what was satisfying him when he's moving around in the cities, when he's moving around in so many different parts of this world? He was absorbed in what he had heard from the sages. Because his mind was full in the talks and in the descriptions which the Bhaktivedantas had told him, as he's moving around, there are many allurements that come his way. Still they didn't touch him. He went ahead. And when we are absorbed like this in Krishna Leela, then no problem is big enough to trouble us. Akrura, he was staying in the palace of Kamsa. However, when the Akashvani was made, when the unembodied voice spoke that the eighth child, Lord Vishnu, is going to kill Kamsa, Akrura heard that. Akrura was a devotee of the Lord. Akrura thought, I have one chance that I can quit Kamsa's company. However, one thing is for certain, that if I stay with Kamsa, if I stick with Kamsa, I can get the darshan of Krishna. So he tolerated all the bad association of Kamsa and the association of his associates. Why? With a single desire that tomorrow I'll get darshan of Krishna. Since he's absorbed in Krishna, a devotee can even tolerate something as obnoxious as the association of a person who wants to kill Krishna. How vile is this intention? He is not criticizing Krishna. He wants to kill Krishna. I am the one who is going to kill Krishna. But a devotee in his eagerness to have the darshan of Krishna can even tolerate such association. I remember one time we had gone to Mayapur on a yatra, and one of the islands there, I forget the name, but at one point of time there was a king there, king named Samudra Sen, who was the king of that place. Okay, one of the devotees is mentioning Mamgachi. So this king Samudra Sen, he was a contemporary of Krishna and the Pandavas. So during the Rajasuya Yajna, when they wanted to coronate Yudhishthir Maharaj, Ashwamedh Yajna, sorry, not Rajasuya Yajna, Rajasuya Yajna was for honoring Krishna. But during Ashwamedh Yajna, a horse was set free by Yudhishthir Maharaj, and wherever the horse went, it would be a challenge to that king. So Bhima was traveling with this horse, and they reached this place. And then King Samudra Sen identified, oh, this is Bhima. He is a very dear devotee of Krishna. So instead of surrendering to Bhima, he had a desire to take darshan of Krishna. So what did he do? He challenged Bhima. He fought with Bhima. And he fought valiantly. Why? He didn't want to win over Bhima. He had a much stronger reason to fight valiantly with Bhima. Why? So that if he fights valiantly, Bhima will be in a problem. When Bhima is problem, who's going to come to rescue him? The Supreme Lord himself. So with that strong spiritual desire, he fought valiantly, and in fact, Bhima, yes, he landed in a problem. And as soon as Bhima landed in a problem, Krishna came there. And when Krishna came there, Samudra Sen's desire was satisfied. So we see how when people, devotees, are absorbed in Krishna, they will go to any length, There is nothing, there is no stone that they will leave unturned just to get attracted to Krishna. So if you and me also get this absorption in Krishna, we will also overcome all obstacles in our life, no matter what, to come close to Krishna, to get darshan of Krishna. When we read about these childhood pastimes, sometimes we could feel, oh, I have heard the parakya ras is higher. Yes, it is higher than the swakya ras. The youth pastimes of Krishna in Madhurya ras are higher than the childhood pastimes of Krishna. That is what we have heard. However, when we read these pastimes, let not this thought come in your mind with regards to you and me. The tattva is true. However, for you and me, that tattva should not be misapplied in thinking that, oh, these are childhood pastimes of Krishna, not the highest. I may not get attracted to them. When we say something is higher, it means there is a comparison happening. It means the parakya ras is higher than the swakya ras. Yes. But for you and me, even the parakya ras is parakya. Is it? Even the swakya ras is parakya. The queens of Dwarka who have swakya ras with Krishna, or the residents of Vrindavan who are having very close dealings with Krishna in the Vatsalya ras, they have the thickest of love for Krishna. You and me don't have that. So that thought should not come, oh, this is Vatsalya ras, I am more interested in Madhurya ras. Sometimes in an immature mind this thought can crop up. Yes. So sweet rice is definitely better and sweeter and more relishable than milk. And somebody who is relishing sweet rice may say this, oh, you are just drinking milk, but sweet rice is more relishable. But for you and me, dear friends, we have not been drinking even milk. We have been drinking wheat flour mixed with water. Ashwatthama was fooled by his parents to believe that they were giving him milk because they could not afford milk, and he would demand milk from them. He would say, oh, all my classmates, they drink milk. I also want milk. They could not. So his mother would mix wheat flour in water and tell him, fool him into thinking that this is milk. This is our state. We think we are enjoying. We think we are doing something big. Actually, it's wheat flour mixed with water. When the acharyas point to us, you know what? The sweet rice is better than milk. We should not think, oh, I have already been tasting milk, now let me go to sweet rice. Let me first understand what is milk. Let me first develop a taste for milk. Let me first develop appreciation for milk. Then sweet rice will be more relishable for me. Kali is very expert in presenting broken pieces of glass as jewels to us. Even in our bhakti, there could be many situations in which we get distracted. And this is one example. Even when we are reading Krishna's childhood pastimes, sometimes because we are in the Gaudiya line and we have heard so much about the youth pastimes of Krishna, this thought can crop up. So I thought, just mention this. I'd like to highlight a small point also. We saw in the translation, it's mentioned in the purport. It is said, Mother Yashoda, just to hear about the activities of her son, stopped her household duties and enjoyed the information given by the neighborhood friends. So Yashoda, her household duties, what are her household duties? She's churning butter, she's boiling milk, she's preparing some bhoga. For whom? For Krishna. So the household duties that she stopped are also service to Krishna. But she stops them. Why? Because the gopis are going to speak about Krishna. She could have continued those duties and told them, yes, please go on, I am listening to you, but this service is also important, I need to do this. The way I could see it, she presents herself as a very eager person to hear. When she continues her duties, although they are also important, they are also for Krishna. However, the speaker would not feel so much inspired to speak if the hearer is also hearing and also engaged in doing something else. But Mother Yashoda wants to fully relish the nectar. Not one drop should be splashed here and there. So she abandons her duties and is all ears to these pastimes. She's showing her eagerness. If somebody is speaking about Krishna, no other duty is as important as hearing about Krishna. A good lesson for us. Sometimes we get distracted into thinking, oh, this is also important. But no. When the morning program is going on, when the Bhagavatam class is going on, there is nothing as important as hearing about Krishna, especially when a devotee is speaking about Krishna. The gopis, on the other hand, here they are speaking about Krishna, but many times they are also hearing about Krishna. So they also set an example. Oh, we see Krishna the whole day playing here and there, sometimes catching a calf's tail and getting run over all over the place. But when Mother Yashoda speaks, they are also hearing about Krishna. And somebody could say that, is it just lip service? Is it that they are just making a show? No, they are not making a show. They are really interested in pleasing Krishna. What is the proof? The proof is that they are not only interested in hearing about Krishna, or they are not only interested in speaking about Krishna, but at other times where when they are not speaking and when they are not hearing, the purpose for which they are churning butter is with a singular motive: Krishna will come to my home and steal this butter. So their activities match their words. It's not that they just speak about Krishna. Oh, Krishna is very sweet. Krishna is so attractive. Krishna as a child is so nice. Sometimes in this world we see people who are very much busy and who are very much expert at talking about Krishna. And sometimes a new person might get impressed by them. However, a devotee is not impressed just by the talk. A devotee tries to understand how deep is his talk. He talks about Krishna in the morning. What about his activities during the rest of the day? If his activities during the rest of the day are also to please Krishna, are also in a mood of service to Krishna, yes, such a person's Harikatha should be heard. Shravanam naiva kartavyam. If a non-devotee speaks about Krishna Katha, however impressive it is, however enchanting it is, but we should understand his actions, his mood does not match with his words. It will not transform our hearts. But gopis are not like that. Their activities are also to please Krishna. Their words are also to speak Krishna. Their ears are also open to please Krishna and to hear about Krishna. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he comments that on the plea, on the pretext of reprimanding Yashoda for the childish restlessness of Krishna, actually, the gopis are taking an opportunity to speak about Krishna and relish that nectar. So we have heard of a verse, Machitta Madgata Prana Bodhayantaha Parasparam Tushant Kathayantascha Mam Nityam Tushanti Charamanti. So Srila Baldev Vidyabhushani comments on this verse by saying, Madgata Prana means that Krishna is the life of these people, and if Krishna is not there in their life, it is just like a fish outside water. A fish will leave its life. Similarly, when devotees don't see Krishna, the pure devotees, it's almost like they don't have life. Yes, Vrajvasis, after 11 years of age, when Krishna and Balaram left Vrindavan, they lost their life. Vrindavan became a barren land. Today when we go to Vrindavan, the water is salty, is it not? The reason why it is salty is mentioned by the Vrajvasis. When Krishna and Balaram left, all the Vrajvasis just cried tears for years and years. Those tears have made Vraj water salty even today. So Mad Gata Prana. Bodhayantaha Parasparam. They speak about Krishna to each other. And what do they derive from here? Tushanti Charamanti. Ramanti is pleasure. So we can very well identify with it. You are all listening to this Krishna Katha, even though imperfectly spoken, but still you are relishing it so much. I am speaking it imperfectly, still I am relishing it. So relishing Krishna Katha is something that is more or less identifiable to us. But Tushanti? Do we derive nourishment out of hearing Krishna Katha? Do we derive nourishment out of speaking Krishna Katha? No. Our nourishment comes from certain other topics. When we speak those topics, then we derive nourishment. When we hear the grapevine, the gossip. Then we derive nourishment out of that. But these devotees, tushyanti cha ramanti cha, they derive nourishment out of talking about Krishna. They derive nourishment out of speaking about Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also comments on this verse and he says, he wants to highlight on this line, kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. He says, the activity mat chitta, chitta is the mind, indicates that these devotees are interested in smaranam. Bodhayantaha indicates that these devotees are interested in the activity of kirtanam. And kathayanta, bodhayanta is hearing and kathayanta is they are interested in kirtan. So he says, out of the 9 activities of devotional service, the 3 most important are shravan, kirtan and smaran. And the devotees of Vrindavan are very expert in shravan, kirtan and smaran. Yes, I'll just like to give one more example of how Krishna is pleased when we talk about him. In the life of the Prachetas, at the end, when Lord Vishnu appears to them, he has 8 arms, is beautifully dressed, he comes riding on a Garuda. So he says, I'm very pleased by your friendship and please ask a boon. Varam Virinidvam Bhadram Vo. So in the course of that, when he speaks, then the Prachetas also speak. So the Prachetas say, Parijate anjasa labdhe sarango anyanna sevate todangri moolam asadya sakshat kim kim vrini mahi. Say, my dear Lord, when a saranga, when a bumblebee comes across a parijat tree. Now the parijat tree is not the tree of this world. Sometimes we call one tree of this world as parijat. No, this tree is the celestial tree. So this parijat tree is very fragrant. And Prabhupada in the purport also mentions that it's a kalpa vriksha, it's a wish fulfilling tree. So when a bumblebee comes across a parijat tree, what else is remaining to be achieved by this bumblebee? Will this bumblebee now ever go to any other tree? Is there any other fragrance which is more better than the parijat tree's fragrance? Is any wish remaining to be fulfilled after contacting the parijat tree? Similarly, they say, now that we have got you, now we have got your darshan, now we do not want anything else. Sakshat kim kim vrini mahi. Now we do not want anything else. And very interestingly, in the next verse, they say something. They say, Yavatte maya yasprishta brahmama iha karma bhi tavat bhavat prasanganam sanghasyano bhave bhave. So in very emphatic words, even giving a very nice example, they have very nicely explained their heart. We do not want anything else. We do not desire a benediction. We have got you. That is the end of all benedictions. And in the next verse, very interestingly, they ask for a benediction. What is that? Bhavat prasanganam. They say, we are very interested. Please give us a benediction that whenever yavatte mayaya sprishta, till the time we are there in the material world, tavat bhavat prasanganam, we would like to be in the association of those who speak about you and who discuss about you. So in the previous verse, they have mentioned we don't have any desire. So that we could say desirelessness. And in next verse, they are expressing a desire to contact Krishna's devotees, to meet devotees who are discussing about Krishna. Is it that after expressing desirelessness to Krishna, they developed a desire which negated that desirelessness? No. This is a manifestation of the same desirelessness. This is a more perceivable form of that same desirelessness. How can desire be desireless? Desires in connection with Krishna, desires that will bring us closer to Krishna, desires that will arouse rati, attraction for Krishna, these desires are the real desirelessness that we talk of. Yes. So I'll stop here on this point, and today's Akshaya Tritiya, so I'll just mention a few lines about Akshaya Tritiya. They say this is a very auspicious day. This is so auspicious that there is no consideration of muhurtas when you want to commence any activity, spiritual or material, today. You do it at any time of today and it's an all auspicious day. This is the 3rd day of the beginning of the Vaishakh month, the waxing phase, the Shukla Paksha. In the Skanda Puran, Lord Jagannath, he speaks to Indradumna, the king who received Lord Jagannath's form in this world, who first installed deities. Vaishakhasya sithe pakshe तृतीयाक्षय संधिकात्र माम लेपयेद गंध लेपनेर अतिशोभनम. He says, I wish, O Indradumna, that on this Akshaya Tritiya day, you cover my whole body with the best fragrant lepa, ointments or paste. And the most fragrant, the most natural ointment is the sandalwood paste. Also, the Vaishakha month, the current month, is the beginning of the heat. So the sandalwood also serves to cool the transcendental body of the Lord, to please the Lord. In Jagannath Puri, the deity of Lord Jagannath is covered completely with sandalwood. Only his two big, huge lotus eyes are left open for him to take darshan of his devotees who have come. On this day, the Utsava Murti, Sri Madan Mohan, he is taken out in a procession to the nearby Narendra Sarovar, and there is a beautiful boat pastime that takes place, and many devotees come there. During Lord Chaitanya's time, and Lord Chaitanya was personally present there, he celebrated his own water pastimes on that day. When he saw Madan Mohan coming there and wonderfully doing a Nauka Vihar in Narendra Sarovar, after that, he and all his devotees jumped into that Narendra Sarovar and enjoyed this cool water pastimes. In Simhachalam, there is a deity of Lord Narasimha. So his form is considered to be so fiery that during the rest of the year, his form is always covered with chandan. And if you go there, you can't see the form of the Lord. In that, you can just make an approximation of the form. On this day, they remove the chandan and you can see the form of the Lord. And in the evening, they again put chandan there. Yes. We saw in the previous discussion how this world is a reflection of the spiritual world. Similarly, in connection with Akshaya Tritiya, Prahlad Maharaj, in his prayers to Lord Narasimha, says, my dear Lord, when we beautify you, when we glorify you, you feel happy and you become beautiful, but we are just a reflection of you. Yes. So the reflection in the mirror becomes beautiful by two ways. One is you try, however unsuccessful you may be, but you can try to put ornaments on the image in the mirror, the reflection in the mirror. Another very easy, practical and pleasing method is you decorate the person whose reflection you are watching in the mirror. So going by the same analogy that was presented by Prabhupada in 15.1, Krishna is the original person and we are his image, we are his reflection. So when we beautify Krishna, when we decorate him with fresh garlands, put on wonderful jewelry on him, when he feels happy, when he feels pleased, we also derive pleasure. By taking darshan of Krishna, we feel happy. Similarly, in this month of Vaishak, we ourselves are also feeling the heat of this month. But when we apply sandalwood paste on Krishna, he feels cool. And by his feeling cool, we'll also feel cool. Yes. So this is the wonderful day of Akshaya Tritiya, and this is a wonderful chance to absorb ourselves in this childish restlessness of Krishna. So I'll stop here. If somebody has any comments or questions, then we can have a few minutes of questions or comments. Our Prabhuji has a comment. No mic. Okay, there's some problem with the mic. Thank you. Thank you for your encouragement. Jai Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai.